Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome those that are visiting with us. I'd like to invite you back with us in every time that you are here. Also, we'd like to recognize that our God is great and He does answer our prayers. And the fact that it's great to also see our sister back with us who's been ill for the last couple of weeks. I remember a while ago, Dwight making mention about an individual who said that being a Christian was just too hard. It was too difficult to do. And so it got me thinking, how hard is Christianity? How difficult is it to be a Christian, to stay a Christian? There are people who believe in heaven, who truly want to go to heaven, and who believe that Christianity is the way to heaven. But they have convinced themselves that they just can't do it, that it's too difficult. They rationalize with themselves. They think other people have the strength to do so. Other people have the willpower to do so. But Christianity is just too difficult. It's too hard. There's no reason for me to begin running the race of Christianity because I know that I'm not going to be able to finish it. Some of you may be sitting here this morning and have those thoughts running through your mind, and this lesson is for you. Those of us who are already members of Christ and have already obeyed the gospel, and this lesson is for us as well. But especially for those who have not obeyed the gospel, I would like to ask this question. What is holding you back? What is hindering you from becoming a Christian? From beginning the race of Christianity? Have you convinced yourself in your mind that it's just too difficult? The first thing I would like to ask about Christianity is this. Is it difficult to understand the will of God? We would be amazed at the amount of people who think and who believe that we can't do the will of God because we cannot understand what the will of God is. I can't understand the Bible, and so therefore I'm not even going to try to become a Christian. If that is the way that you think, then I would like to call your attention to what the Lord says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. But then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. From this verse, I want us to see that God wants us to know what His will is. And I firmly believe that God would not ask us to understand what His will is if we were not capable of understanding it. So from this verse, we can infer that we can actually understand what the will of the Lord is. We also have the same thing over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Again, the point I'm trying to make and trying to get across is this, that the Lord wants us to know what is acceptable and pleasing to Him. And then finally, over in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. Ephesians chapter 3, 3 through 4. By that revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Again, for the third time here in Ephesians, he clearly speaks that we can read it and we can understand it. I want us to realize that we have the ability to understand what the will of the Lord is. Christianity is not some deep mystical thing. It's not some type of religion that you just can't comprehend or that you cannot understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Here the Apostle Paul is referring to Christianity, describing it as the simplicity of Christ. I also wanted to see this as an example played out in Mark 16, 16. How difficult is it to understand this verse? Again, being honest, how difficult is it to understand this verse? Mark 16, 16. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It means exactly what it says. It's not hard to understand, is it? It's really simple and easy to understand what that verse means. But again, there are those that come to this verse and it's not teaching exactly what they believe. It's not teaching them something that they want to hear. So they have to figure out some way to get around it. Some way to twist it and distort it. How many of you have heard this concerning that verse? Well, it doesn't say he who is not baptized will not be saved. You see, people try to figure out a way to get around this, to make it fit with what they believe and what they agree with. Don't do that. Don't do that with this scripture or any other scripture. We have to realize that what you need to know in order to become saved and stay saved, the Bible refers to that as milk. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. A newborn baby, we know that you can't take a T-bone steak, drop it in front of them, and expect them to digest it, because they can't. They have to have milk. Milk is easily digested. A newborn baby, or a newborn babe in Christ, is in Christ and is saved. My point is this, that what we need to know about the gospel in order to become saved, it's not deep, it's not mystical, it's not hard to digest, and it's not hard to understand. The milk of the gospel will take less than 5 minutes to explain. In order to become a Christian, you must believe in God. And it is through that belief that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, He is the Messiah. We openly confess that by our faith. And moved by that faith, we repent of our sins. We turn away from the life that we lived and we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, which we can understand. And then we are baptized for the remission of our sins. We then become a member of the body, of the one body. And as a member of the one body, as an individual Christian, you try to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You assemble together with Christians on the first day of the week. You pray to God, you sing to God. You give back to God a portion of that which we have been blessed with. You partake of the Lord's Supper. We worship God, and we feed on the Word of God. milk. That was the milk of the gospel. Like I said, less than 5 minutes. Was that hard to understand? No. Coming to believe in God, is that difficult to do? No. There's people out there who say there's not enough evidence. And Scripture says that they are without excuse. Is it really difficult to come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah? If you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about His birth, about all the miracles that He did, about His death, about His resurrection, if you believe it, then it's a very easy conclusion to come to. Is it difficult to confess that Jesus is the Christ? No. Is it difficult to be immersed in water? No. Living the life we'll talk about in a moment, because there's a bit more to it. But understanding how to become a Christian is milk. Even the teachings concerning the laws of Christianity is milk. And then after you become a Christian, you grow. You continue to grow. You grow in your faith, and you grow in your knowledge of God. And this knowledge is not something that is above you or beyond us. It is not something to where we can't understand. He wants us to understand what it is. In my everyday living, how am I supposed to treat my family? How am I supposed to treat my brother? How am I supposed to treat my neighbor? These are not deep, mystical things. It's really quite simple. However, to be honest, we must also take into consideration what we find over in 2 Peter. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter 3, 16. As also in his letters, speaking to them these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. If the Apostle Peter says that some things are hard to understand concerning the writings of Paul, then who am I to stand up here and say that it's all easy? The majority of the writings of the New Testament are milk. And then there are points in there that are meat. And in our Bible classes, we often dive pretty deep. In our Bible classes, we take some of that hard meat, and we chew it, and we break it down to where we can understand it, to where we can understand what the will of the Lord is and what He wants from us and how to do it. But even verses that are hard to understand are not impossible to understand. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. And yet we have people, we'll come across people who, when you try to explain it to them, when you try to teach them Christ, it bounces off of them like a rubber ball off of a wall. These people are described as the wayside hearers in the parable of the sower. When they hear the word of God, it's just swept up and it's gone. It doesn't soak in at all. It has no chance to take up and establish any sort of roots. Over in Corinthians, it's described this person as the natural man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. This man, when he hears the word of God, he wants nothing to do with it. He won't even listen to it. It says to him, it's foolishness. There are people who, when you try to talk to them about God, will look at you like you're crazy. It says that he cannot understand them. You see, their eyes are already closed. Their hearts are already closed. And with their heart and their mind already closed, they can't understand it. It just bounces right off of them. It's not so much that they can't understand what the will of God is. It's the condition of their hearts and their mind and them not being willing to receive it. In the parable of the sower, it's describing different types of hearers. You have the wayside hearer, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. And then some are also referred to as the natural man. They don't receive the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to them. But then you have the good ground. When you come to a good and honest heart, the milk of the Word of God is easily understood, and it easily produces faith. The next question I have is it difficult to live the will of God? As I said earlier, coming to believe that Jesus is the Christ is really not all that difficult. Confessing is not all that difficult. Being baptized is not all that difficult. But the living, the repentance. Is it difficult to live the Word of God once we understand it? There are a lot of people out there who believe that it cannot be done. I would like to go to heaven. I would like to be a Christian. But I cannot live that Christian life. And since I know I can't do it, I'm not even going to begin to run the race. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, as I said before, we're talking about the living part of Christianity. Again, keeping His commandments by faith. Is that difficult? Well, it tells us right there that it's not burdensome. Becoming a Christian is not chains to keep you from enjoying life. It is the truth that will set us free and allow us to live life to the fullest. The Creator knows how we are to live our life. Through all kinds of suffering, to get fulfillment and joy out of this life that He has blessed us with. And I would like to think that the Creator knows us better than we know ourselves. And so keeping His commandments about how we are to treat ourselves, how we are to treat others, our family, our neighbor, our brethren, they are not burdensome. Jesus even speaks about this over in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's talking here about living Christianity. And He says we will find rest for our souls. This is the way to live life to the fullest. Not in chains that will be difficult for us, that will keep us from enjoying life. And He goes on to say that His burden is light and the yoke is easy. Again, His commandments are not burdensome and His burden is light. I want us to see that living Christianity is really not all that difficult. And some may be saying, well, wait a minute. Yes, it is. And in some aspects, you may be right. And we'll talk about that also in a minute. But I want us now to see that loving our neighbor is not that difficult. Loving people is not that difficult. Romans 13, 9 through 10. Romans 13, 9 through 10. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Let me ask you this. How difficult is it to not commit adultery? I think it's pretty easy to be faithful to my wife. How difficult is it to not commit murder? If you think that one is hard, then please don't come by the house. How difficult is it to not steal? If you're going to steal something, if you're going to rob someone, it takes time and it takes planning to execute that. It's easier just to not do it at all. At the very core of our relationship with Christianity is learning to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the core of Christianity. How difficult is that? It's not burdensome to be faithful. It's not burdensome to not go out and just randomly kill someone. It's not burdensome to take something that doesn't belong to you. It's not burdensome to be kind, courteous, respectful. These are not burdens. However, Paul does speak about the struggle that we as human beings face. That is found in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. Romans chapter 7, 18 through 19. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Paul here is describing the struggle that every single one of us faces. As I pointed out earlier, we can understand what the will of God is. So let me ask you this. Surely there's nobody here this morning who sins anymore, is there? So if that's not the case, then what's the problem? The problem is this. We know what's good. We know what's right. And in our mind, in our will, we say, I want to do good. I want to do what is right. But Paul says, for the good that I want to do, I do not do. There are things we sometimes understand that are the will of the Lord, and we just don't do it. Likewise, there are things that we understand as the will of God, the things that He wants us to do, the things that we don't want to do, and we do them, or we don't do them. Being a father has taught me a tremendous. Hannah and Darren and Samuel, they know what Bridget and I want from them. Sometimes they do those things, sometimes they don't do those things. The same is true with our relationship with our Father in heaven. Have you ever stopped to think why that is? The next verse that we come across over in Galatians is a great cross-reference to the text that we just read over in Romans. And that's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. Here, in this section, in these few verses, is the answer to the problem over in Romans that we just read. In Paul's closing remarks, he says, so that you may not do the things that you please. It's the same thing he's talking about over in Romans, where he says, for the good that I want to do, I do not do. They are discussing the exact same problem. And the solution is to walk in the Spirit. There's discussion here in these verses about being carnally minded and being spiritually minded. These two things are contrary to one another. There is a battle going on in our hearts and our minds between carnally and fleshly minded and being spiritually minded. We can look at them as being fires. You can feed the fires of the flesh and feed the carnal mindedness, and it is then that you will find it extremely difficult to live life spiritually. With that being said, it's imperative that we keep and we guard our hearts with all diligence. Gaining control of what we are taking into our mind and into our hearts through our eyes and our ears. Do not watch filth on the internet. Do not watch filth on the TV or in the movies. Don't read filth in books and magazines. Because as we feed the carnal mind, we are not going to find living Christianity easy. What we have to do is we have to be more spiritually minded. And as we grow more spiritually minded, we will put out the fires of the flesh. And he says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. How do we grow more spiritually minded? What we take into the mind is the Word of God, to where it is dwelling in us richly, filling our hearts, our mind, our thought process. As we can read, sometimes there will be difficulties. There will be battles. Even after we obey the gospel, after we repent and become obedient and live the Christian life. There are spiritual weaknesses that all of us have. We have to recognize what they are and where they are. And with the weapons that God gives us, we can tear down the strongholds. We can repent and we can change. But the key to it is knowing God and knowing what His will is for us to grow spiritually minded and using the weapons that God gives us to tear down those strongholds that are against us. And as we continue to grow more spiritually minded, we will put out the fires of the flesh. But the contrary is also true. As you grow carnally minded, you feed the fires of the flesh. You're putting out the fire of the Spirit. And it is possible to do it so often that you completely stop that fire out. As you live the carnal mind, your actions will be accordingly. As I said a few weeks ago, there is a war going on. There is a battle going on. And it is in our hearts and our minds. That is why we have to keep guard of it with all diligence. Spend time reading the Word of God and listening to the will of God. To feed the fires and the flames of the Spirit. To grow more spiritually minded. And the one who walks in the Spirit, when you get to that point, will not give in to temptation. Will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will be able to resist the attacks of Satan. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. What I want us to see from this text is that God is not going to allow you, the child of God, to be tempted beyond that which you're able to walk away from. That which you can say no to. Even if you are a babe of Christ, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are capable of resisting and walking away from. So do not let this fear of I can't live it, or it's just too difficult, or other people can live it but not me, be your driving force. It's simply not true. Anyone and everyone, if they are willing to use the spiritual weapons that God gives us, to us as children, can grow spiritually minded by reading His Word and letting it rule over us to drive our very being, to have His Word being the deciding factor in how we speak, how we walk, and how we act. And we do that every single day, day in and day out. You can live the Christian life. You can have the promise of heaven. So that means being a Christian is easy, right? I will never stand up here and tell you that once you become a Christian, that it's all rainbows and puppy dogs. I do believe that we can understand what the will of God is and that He does want us to understand what it is. But it doesn't mean it's an easy road. That's why Paul writes this over in 2 Timothy 2:3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. Here you see the word hardship. At times there will be difficulties. But instead of running away and cowering, we are expected to endure those hard times. Again, he warns over in 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. I want you to see what this verse does not say. This verse does not say some of you who desire to live godly might be persecuted. That's not what it says. It says all who desire will be persecuted. That means you, me, the brother or sister sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, and across from you. At some point in time in your life as a Christian, you will suffer persecution. It's not an if, it's a when. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Suffering as a Christian, suffering because of what you believe, because of your faith, because of the way you live, because of the things that you refuse to participate in, because you refuse to go along with those who are traveling down the broad way. You need to know and prepare yourself for the fact, for the truth, that some form of persecution is coming your way. Just stand strong and be courageous when that does happen. For Christ himself gives us the encouragement. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These things will happen to everyone who is a Christian. But instead of losing heart, we embrace it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give you an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. No one likes to be the butt of a joke, ridiculed, or laughed at, or made fun of, or isolated because of their faith. When we do suffer these things for Christ, we should be glad. These are the times that we have suffered for the sake of Christ. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. No matter what we go through in this life, heaven is worth it 100 times over. Is it going to hurt? Yes. That's why they call it a hardship. But it's also why when Paul, when he suffered, when he was beaten with rods, when he was stoned and imprisoned, just to name a few, was able to write this over in Philippians chapter 4, 13. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I want you to stop thinking that Christianity is too hard. That living life the way God tells us to is too difficult. It's too much. You can understand what the will of God is, and you can live it. If you want to, and if you have the desire, yes, you will be tempted, and yes, you will be persecuted. But also know this. Christ was spit on. He was mocked. He was beaten. He had his skin torn from his body. And then he had spikes driven into his hands and his feet to hang on a cross and die. He suffered all these things because he knew what the will of his Father in heaven was. He knew if he obeyed the will of his Father in heaven, that he would return to his Father in heaven. He came down from heaven knowing how great heaven was. And he was not afraid to suffer all that he suffered, even if it meant being beaten and hung on a tree to die, in order to return to his Father in heaven. He did it for you and for me, so that we can go there, we can be with him. He paved the path for us to follow. If you have not obeyed the gospel, then you have the opportunity to do so now. And it is through hearing the word of God, believing it, confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, repenting of our own sinful ways, and being buried with him in baptism. The opportunity to do so now, to become a child of God, awaits you. What hinders you from being obedient, from becoming a child of God? Jesus paved the way for you. He suffered and he died for you, so that all you have to do is have to have faith to walk forward and believe and become a child of God. God did his part. Christ did his part. It's up to you to do your part. And you have the opportunity to do so now. Those of us who are members of Christ or are part of that one body, we know that sometimes we stumble and we fall. But we have that relationship with God. We have that faith, that love, to where we can go to him and we can seek forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. So if you're in any need this morning, I ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.